Welcome everyone, this is All About Windows Phone Insight, podcast 239, recording this on 15th of December 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield for AAWP. Rafe is very busy this week, so we've drafted in a replacement. He hasn't been on for about 3.5 months, but he's back. Steve Heinrich, hi there.
Hello everybody.
And remind people where you are in the world.
I'm in Valparaiso, Indiana, in the United States. It's near Chicago.
Yeah, and you're obviously, from the accent, a Native American, not an expat like Anthony Veer.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd be very helpful in terms of site coding and, of course, being a regular podcast guest. Now, there are a few things to chat about. I'm sure some of the heavyweight things that are kind of industry, generic, Rafe loves to talk about, we may save those for Rafe when he gets back on the show. But there are a couple of meaty things I wanted to cover with you. First of all, I did notice what I linked to this morning, the new patents from Microsoft for a Surface Mobile and a new sort of dual hinge. Did you see that? And does it remind you of any other devices? Because it doesn't seem that innovative to me.
No, it's not very, it doesn't look too unique to some stuff that we've been seeing lately. So,
yeah. Do you remember the old E90 communicator back in 2007?
No, honestly, I don't, unfortunately.
you didn't come in from the Symbian then, though. You came in from the Windows Mobile end, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm probably on the younger end of the spectrum, I would say, as far as my smartphone use. So,
are we allowed to know how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 33, so.
Wow.
2000, yeah, so 2007, I was still on a dumb phone, but going into Android first, but.
Okay. Well, in terms of this patent coming to fruition, the clever money still says there will be something announced early next year. My gut feel is that if there is, it won't appear until quarter two or maybe even quarter three next year. But in terms of the possibility of a dual screen folding device that can be, I'm guessing if the hinge goes all the way around, you could have it fold it so the screen, both screens outermost, and it could be a bit like that ZTE folding phone in America recently, the Axon M, whereby you have the screen on the bottom, which is disabled, and you have the screen on the top when it's folded, and that becomes the phone screen. Then you unfold it and both become active, and various possibilities. And of course, you could close it so that both screens are inwards, so they're both are protected. But does this thing appeal to you at all, or is it just ultra niche?
I think it's a little bit niche at this point. The ZTE or ZTE, the foldable one, it looked interesting, but I just don't think that it's quite there as far as utilizing it yet. Maybe Windows has, or Microsoft has, a better idea of what to kind of do with that space, that extra added screen. So I'm curious, but right now I think it's niche unless they can really show us the real possibilities of it.
But we have seen, in terms of Continuum displays and Microsoft's Windows adapting two larger screens, that Microsoft can make good use of extra screen real estate. So when we've seen these Windows 10 on ARM new devices launched last week, they're delayed as well. They'll be appearing sometime in quarter two 2018. But you can kind of see that the same kind of software could be kind of a shoehorned, if you like, into a folding device of this nature. I suspect it would be £1,000 plus or $1,000 plus in America. And yes, it will be niche, if only because of the price, but it's certainly interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the keyboard on a separate screen and having an entire screen to work on, or even just, you know, with Excel to kind of spread it across two screens, that kind of thing, it's definitely interesting to look at, so.
Yeah, the obvious one for me is that mock-up or sketch showing, used to say this, emulated QWERTY keyboard on the glass on one of the displays, and with the other display propped up laptop style, so you effectively get a mini laptop all inside your, quote, folding phablet. So there is a lot of potential here. It just remains to be seen whether the world is, you know, needs that kind of solution when the world seems pretty happy, really, with a smartphone and a laptop stroke hybrid.
Yeah, and if there's enough oleophobic coding to make that screen useful in the long term, so.
Yeah, there was a brand new Windows 10 mobile release. This is Patch Tuesday, of course, second Tuesday of every month. Microsoft pushes out security fixes and patches and updates to all of its branches on desktop, mobile, Xbox, HoloLens, all the rest of it. So that's Bill 1524.124. It's the Fall Creators Update, and most people listening to this will have a device that's on that by hook or by crook. And of course, those updates will carry on now for another 2 years or so. There was also, Steve, I don't know whether you saw this, there was also a new Fastring build, and the significance of that, against all expectations, I thought the Insiders program for mobile was done and dusted, really, and they just carry on with the monthly updates. But no, there is a new Fastring build, implying there is a whole new branch that will get forked off when Redstone 4 for the PC and the desktop gets rolled out next spring. So I think we'll have monthly but certainly bi-monthly Fastring updates, and our smartphones, Lumia 950s, etc., will actually be on a in name only and an RS4 service branch come spring next year, at which point they get another 28 months of service and support. So Microsoft does keep moving the goalpost, but this time in a good way.
Yeah, I think the 950 range is going to be about 10 years old before all of this is over.
You've still got your 950, I assume?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, is it your main device, or do you have an Android device as well?
No, my Android device is my main device at the moment. The battery on my 950 has been kind of really bad lately, which I've seen comments to the similar, but I'm not sure if I need to factory reset it now, but I don't want to because there's so many things that need to be reinstalled on there at this point. So,
yeah, the restore process is pretty seamless, though. I did an article giving a tutorial on how to, quote, refresh a Windows
mobile.
Yeah, I
did see that on there, so I think it's probably my next step. I did get a new battery for it about 6 months ago, and I'm not sure what the deal is with it exactly. So
yeah, the usual problems are, apart from just under the hood cruft, which you can of course clear away with a refresh, the usual problem is that there are too many things which are running in the background. And if you go into settings battery, I'm sure you know this, I'm teaching you to suck eggs as it were, but within the battery section you can go in and view every application one by one and specified that whether Windows should manage their use in the background, or whether they're always allowed in the background or never allowed. And quite often, if you're like me, you've got 40, 50, 60 apps installed, some of which you're just trying out. And if they're even running in the background to some degree, then that will have an impact on battery life. So that's also worth a look.
Yeah, definitely. Probably the next step before I go all out.
It does take a while to do a factory reset and rebuild, of course, because just Windows itself seems to take ages to reinstall applications compared to, for example, modern Android phones. Partly that's the chipsets, the Snapdragon 808. We thought it was quite fast when it came out now, Steve. But what is your Android phone at the moment?
It's actually the Moto E4 Plus with the giant battery.
Oh, well, there goes my theory, because I was going to say you had a really fast Samsung Galaxy S8 or something, and that would be, you know, the chipset would blow away the Lumia 950, but in actual fact, that Moto E4 Plus is pretty comparable.
Yeah, it's similar, but even though Microsoft keeps updating the store, I don't see a whole lot of user experience improvements in it. I'm not exactly sure what they're updating on the back end. But things, I think you've mentioned this before, things just don't tend to load as they should. So,
yeah. There's certainly been quite a few updates to the store in terms of what fluid design or fluent design. And I noticed the transparency kind of comes and goes. Microsoft is looking at performance on some of the older phones and realizing that it really perhaps ought to be turned off. And I noticed that on one of the recent builds. Now, Steve, I have a new toy arriving tomorrow. You have a guess what it is.
Based on what I've seen, potentially a Wily Fox?
Yes, Wily Fox at the start of 2017 kind of stunned everyone, really, by announcing a Windows 10 mobile handset. And we thought, yeah, that's never going to see the light of day. And they're just experimenting with a possible product. It turns out, after 10 or 11 months later, that it's a real product. Not only is it a real product, it's arriving here for review tomorrow. So they decided to distribute via Amazon, which is, I think, a sensible move. They obviously can't get the weight of numbers behind some kind of network or carrier deal. But certainly for people who want a SIM-free Windows 10 mobile handset that is new, supported, and we'll come to that in a moment, in late 2017, it is an option. Now, the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, or the Idol 4S as you know it in America, is still sold, so that's good. Okay, that's still available. But I think Wily Fox's angle here it's very much to do with business and security. And I don't know whether you, Steve, you can bring up the Amazon listing or click through, and I'll just run through it while you're doing that on your laptop. But if you look at the listing on Amazon, I mean, it's ostensibly a Snapdragon 210 powered, a 5-inch 720p display in late 2017. This is incredibly low end. However, £190 as well, which is $250, which again is insane, late 2017. So why on earth are they doing this? Well, partly I guess I'll find out tomorrow when I have to get hands on. But mainly, if you go to the Amazon listing, it's all about introducing Wiley Fox Business. And I think they're seizing on the fact that there are quite a few businesses out there who do make use of Windows 10 Mobile. And they had Lumia 650s and 950s, and even before that, 920s, 930s, 1520s back in the day. And they want something to replace them with. And you can't now buy a new any of those devices. You can't even get them repaired because the spare parts just aren't available in many cases. So they're thinking, okay, well, there are businesses out there who want the security and convenience of Windows without having to worry about Android vulnerabilities and Trojans and people clicking on the wrong website and then getting something that gets downloaded and their security settings are wrong and then their phone gets infected. All of that goes away once you decide to go for a Windows phone. And with the added benefit that your employees can't then spend all their time on Snapchat because Snapchat doesn't exist. So in effect, really, for a vertical use case with a business wanting fairly cheap, they'll get them a lot cheaper than £190, as we said on a previous podcast, fairly cheap smartphone that can do all the basics of Microsoft Office and Outlook, etc., etc., UWP apps with all the security of Windows, monthly updates for 2 years, none of the vulnerabilities of Android, none of the worries about what your employees might be getting up to. It's got Cortana. It's a compelling use case in a sense, and I say in a sense because most people who are individuals listening to this will think, oh, poppycock, if I want a new phone, I'll just go and get the Alcatel or I'll get my Lumia repaired or whatever. This is insane pricing. But for a company that's looking to buy, say, 20 or 30 of these to extend its use of Windows 10 Mobile out for a couple of years, this actually could be an option. But I'd welcome your thoughts.
Yeah, it's definitely a business phone. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people like myself looked at this phone and thought, you know, oh, this another Windows phone, thank God. But then, you know, saw the features and the pricing. But looking at this listing on Amazon, it definitely makes sense as a business phone. And that's, I mean, they're promoting that heavily. So as long as your business doesn't really require any specific applications, and even if they do, I mean, you just develop them for Windows and could, even if you develop a UWP app, which would be, you know, your employees could use across their laptop and their phone and that kind of a thing. I think it makes sense. I don't blame Wiley Fox for going down this route and creating this phone, but it is, I mean, as a one-off just general person, I am a little bit disappointed, I'll be honest, but it's good to see that they're still out there. And it's unfortunate, too, that Windows is being that a Windows phone is being touted as secure, mostly because it's not really being attacked.
Yeah. Although, in fairness, Microsoft does keep it secure because of this rolling monthly update process. I mean, Apple are also pretty good.
And there are general, you know, there are, you know, like the Blueborn thing and all of that. Those are things that affects all phones, and they're getting patched very quickly on Windows, which is a definite feature. So.
Yeah, and the advantage, as with the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro and also with this Wiley Fox Pro, they have the advantage that they may not be stunning devices. They may not need to have absolute unique selling features. Unique selling points. Their unique selling point is the fact they run Windows 10 Mobile in a world which is largely Android and has its own problems. When you look, I do comparisons with, for example, the Nokia 8 I did a couple of days ago, and it's clear that the Nokia 8 is a far more powerful smartphone in terms of ecosystem, in terms of chipset, etc., etc. But the Nokia 8 is having to compete against hundreds, if not thousands, of other models, all available for sale, all being actively pushed, all being actively discounted around the world. Whereas the Alcatel and the Wiley Fox Pro here, they're existing in a market which is almost completely devoid of Windows. So if you want to go Windows, they are one of the only, say, two choices in Europe. Because that Trek Store Kickstarter, or is it an Indiegogo, wasn't it? That's about to fail. It's got 10% with a couple of days to go. So it looks like that's a non-starter. But yeah, so there is that unique factor as well.
Yeah, for sure. You can't buy many Windows phones. Like you said, it's just, it's good to see that there's an option out there, especially if your business is already on Microsoft services. I know the company I work for is mostly on Google now, but if you are on Microsoft, it's kind of a no-brainer to go with this, especially because you don't have to worry about your employees going off and doing too much with these things.
Yeah, I know there's a big culture of bring your own device in modern companies, and that's made probably prevalent, but there's still a lot of companies which like to issue company phones that are locked down, secure, and with company documents on them that are not going to be seen by third parties through the user doing something stupid. And so there must be a certain proportion of users out there and proportion of companies who actually want a business phone, a company phone, a phone they issue to their employees that doesn't cost them the earth. Let's say it costs them $150 per handset, buying them in sort of 10, 20, 30 at a time. And yes, the users can have their own iPhone. They're going to have their own Android phone, which they do Snapchatting and, you know, watch Netflix and all the rest of it, all the stuff, time-wasting stuff on, and play games. But none of that will touch the business phone, the company phone, the phone with the data and the access codes, all of that. So, you're part of American culture. What in America, how many companies are sort of bring your own and how many issue company phones?
That's a little bit tough for me to say, but I think I've seen a definite trend towards bring your own phone. I know that I bring my own phone to my job, but they do also issue phones to certain people. So it's hard to say what the percentage is, but the bring your own device is definitely on the rise.
Yeah, you may have answered this on the previous podcast back in September that you were on, but you've had hands on with the Alcatel Idol 4S, I presume. Yeah, and what was your verdict? I mean, I know you had it 7 months before us in Europe. A slightly different device because of the frequencies being different, but essentially, you know, the same hardware. What was your verdict on that?
I thought it was it's a beautiful phone. It really is. And just the experience with it and the media experience and everything. The one thing that let it down for me and why I really had to kind of move on from it was the lack of software support. I was having issues with the T-Mobile version specifically, and there was no movement by Alcatel to kind of rectify the issue I was having. So, but other than that, I really enjoyed it. I really wish I could have kept it. It blew me away as far as it's definitely an upgrade from the 950 range outside of the camera. So
yeah, outside the camera, and of course there's no replaceable battery, which I guess is a moot point in your case because even the replaced battery is misbehaving. But maybe that's a job for a refresh procedure for you for another day. I'm just going back to the show notes. There are a couple of more things to cover really. How to read web content dark in the Edge browser. Now, I'm not sure whether I mentioned this in the previous podcast, but it's an interesting point because I'm always going on about all of these phones, the Lumias, the Alcatel, they've got AMOLED screens, which look absolutely wonderful. I'm sure you'd agree with the high contrast, gorgeous colours. But if you spend most of your life reading web pages and news stories, they've all got white backgrounds, and which means all the pixels are lit up all the time, and the battery life then nosedives, which again, something you could identify with. So this was a little tip I found. By going into the readability mode within Edge, having brought up a page, you kind of tap the icon if it's available, and then by using the sort of trick by tapping in the top corner, you can set the entire readability mode to dark, and then you can read your 2,000-word article that takes you 10 minutes to read on your Lumia or Alcatel screen, on their AMOLED screen, but with white text on a black background with something like a 15 times power saving. So is that something you knew about?
I didn't. I knew about the reading mode. I didn't realize. I didn't really connect the dots, I guess you could say, as far as the black background and white text. But it's a really nice feature for Windows Phone to have, or Windows 10 Mobile to have that in Edge. I mean, especially if you're on if you're using Edge, which you probably are a lot. These days it's definitely a nice thing to have. I like the reading mode a lot. It really improves the overall experience. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't realize about this until someone pointed it out in the comments, which is why I did a tutorial, just to remind people. So essentially, when you're in this reading mode in Edge, at the top right of the screen, you've got a little double A, which you'd quite rightly think this is the control for changing the font that it's showing, which it does. But beneath that, there's a little other separate panel called Page Theme, and one of the themes is a dark theme with white text on black background, and that's the key to it. I literally had either forgotten it was there or didn't know it was there, and it has been a bit of a revelation, really. But it takes 5 to 10 seconds to set up if you're on a web page to turn it dark like that. But if you're on a long article and you know, someone's recommended you something on medium.com or something, then it makes sense because you can browse it over 10, 15 minutes and read the entire thing without worrying really about power. So I think it's a big thing for large articles.
Yeah, for sure. It's a nice feature to have. I've always been a fan of the reading mode, and that's pretty much why they created it, so you can kind of read distraction free too.
Yeah, and save power at the same time. Another of my little features to highlight something that I kind of knew about, but I hadn't really appreciated how far it went, was that I called it Windows 10 Mobile's Hidden Landscape UI. And you've probably seen this, I'm sure people listening, when you rotate your phone into landscape, some applications rotate their content. But more than that, the cleverer applications actually adapt their UI. In other words, turn it into like a mini laptop mode. And sometimes you get two panes, a list view and then a contents view. Sometimes you get the content rearranging. Sometimes you get new controls, new options. So I highlighted in the article about a dozen different applications, both first party and third party, that did interesting things when you go into landscape. And I suppose a good example really will be that Skype one at the top of the article, which you can see there, Steve, where it kind of looks like Skype does on the desktop.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. It's funny how we kind of, after I read this article, I started opening up apps and, you know, turning my phone to the side. It's kind of funny how over the years I've kind of been predisposed not to turn my Windows phone since. So I'm not, you know, not used to these really nice views. And it makes sense when you think about the UWP apps. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, well, yeah, it should be doing something when I'm turning it landscape. So it's interesting. And it's definitely the design and the choices they make in landscape are definitely interesting.
Yeah, in some cases, you do genuinely get more functionality. And for example, in the weather app, I know it's just simply rotating the content and it's allowed to stretch out into a wider display, but it makes a huge difference. So from going to see the next 3 days or so ahead, all of a sudden you can see almost a week ahead in one view, which I think is really useful. Also, settings is another good example where you've got the whole hierarchy of settings, which is a real pain in portrait mode, you know, tapping backwards and going, diving in and going back every time. You can literally browse all the different categories to the top level folders and settings and have whichever one's highlighted, you see just those settings in the right-hand column. So, again, it's very much like you would see on a desktop, which, again, is as you'd expect. It is the same operating system. It's Windows 10. And Windows 10, if you plug in a continuum display or a larger display, you'd expect to see the content reflow and refactor itself and if the application is written well enough, sometimes the layout itself can change drastically and usually for the better.
Yeah, usually for the better. I did notice that, you know, in some application it wasn't very useful, but the fact that it's there is nice to see.
Yeah, when you have to enter text, it becomes a pain because then the landscape keyboard is, you know, takes up far too much of the screen.
Yeah, and it makes me curious what they would do if they had that two-screen device, exactly how that would work, too.
Or if I could somehow get Windows 10 Mobile on my HTC 7 Pro. Now, are you aware of the HTC 7 Pro, Steve?
No, I'm not.
Good. While I'm describing it, go Google HTC 7 Pro and bring up a couple of images. Basically, it was one of the first Windows Phone 7.x devices. And it was very much like that old Nokia communicator.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So the screen slides up over a landscape keyboard and then tilts up with a spring. So you end up with a mini laptop. And a lot of the UI, again, then works in landscape mode. Just imagine that form factor, Steve, but with a faster chipset and Windows 10 Mobile on board. That would be interesting, even today.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would be interested in that.
Yeah. We do have a listener's letter to go through before we finish here. This is from Lewis Anderson. He says, thanks for your hard work on the podcast. It keeps me entertained and up to date. just wanted to share my recent experience with my Lumia 640. And this may be relevant to you, Steve, because he's downsizing his expectations on his Windows phone to try and get things run faster. I shall let Lewis explain. He says, I carried out a factory reset, bought a new battery, and it now feels like a completely new phone. It only has 8 GB of internal memory, and I'd been using a micro SD for music and photos, but the phone was feeling slow and clunky. And I was worried about the diminishing internal storage for updates, especially the way the OEM podcast app kept hogging the storage. The factory reset has left me with about 3.5 GB of internal storage on my Lumia 640, and I've not bothered installing a micro SD card this time. He says I still take photos, but transfer them frequently to my laptop and erase them from the phone. It means I take better considered photos and I keep a better library of photos on my laptop. I use Grover Pro on my laptop to download podcasts once a week, and then I transfer them to the phone. I don't listen to music on the phone anymore, but would transfer a new album or two if I was excited about something new. The end result, says Lewis, this is rather a drastic use case, but it's interesting anyway. The end result, says Lewis, is that I now use my phone differently. I really use it this time. No longer is it just another clunky storage device for photos and music. It is sharp and responsive, and the default Windows colour scheme and wallpaper look clean. I deleted all the apps I feel were unnecessary, and I'm much more selective with the apps and maps that I actually need. I appreciate that its lifespan is limited, but for the time being, it is a pleasure to use again. Which is interesting, Steve. It's no real shocker, is it, that if you prune what you keep on your phone and get rid of the rubbish and delete the apps and games you don't need and clean up after your podcatchers, it's no real shocker that your device will be faster and more responsive. But any comments on Lewis going to extremes?
Yeah, I had the Lumia 640 for a while. I used it as my daily driver for quite a while, a couple years ago, and I can appreciate what he's saying. It's the same thoughts have run through my mind of kind of simplifying things and just keeping it bare bones and down to the simple things that I do. So I think it's a great idea, and honestly, something that more people with those low end devices, especially, you can get them because they always ran really well. They just, you know, they get bogged down after a while. As long as the phone works and, certain applications are still working, it's a route to go, especially if you're looking to kind of declutter your digital mind.
Which you are over Christmas, presumably on your 950.
Yeah, yep, that'll probably be a route that I'm going to take. So.
Yeah, I kind of envy you in America because you've got not only got the Alcatel Idol 4S at $199, which is an absolute steal for what you get, and you know, the Snapdragon 820, etc., etc. Also, I did notice the HP were now selling off the Elite X3, which is, again, very, very high spec phone, especially for Windows 10 Mobile, and that's now $399, and that was double that price 6 months ago, so... Yeah, an Elite X3 for $399, does that tempt you?
I've never, the Elite X3 never really appealed to me too much. The Alcatel is actually down to $169, I think, right now. Wow. For the holiday. So, I've almost pulled the trigger on the Alcatel again, even though I had issues with it the first time. But this is the unlocked version, not the T-Mobile version. Yeah, it's definitely nice to have that over here, but it's also kind of a sign of where Windows is over here as far as the mobile division goes.
I think you should pull the trigger, but at that price, it's a real steal. And yes, Alcatel themselves are very unlikely to produce brand new firmware and to fix any low-level bugs, but there aren't that many low-level bugs, and most of them are completely livable with. And Microsoft itself, once you get that Idol 4S onto the full creators update, again, you've got those 2 years of bug fixes and updates and security, plus all the UWP apps getting updated. So there's still an awful lot you can do on that. Even if Alcatel itself doesn't care anymore, you could snap that up and have a powerful Windows 10 mobile device for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that. And kind of in this letter from Lewis here, having the same idea, even in the next couple of years, if the device becomes unusable, you kind of scale it back and it's still a really nice media device to play podcasts and such.
So. Yeah. Of course, that Idol, it has 64 GB of internal storage. So you're in a far more luxurious position than on the Lumia 640. The Idol 4S, you almost don't even need a micro SD card at all, and yet still keep music and media around offline for, that good media experience. So pull the trigger, Steve.
Yeah, I keep coming on and I keep pulling the trigger on things, and I'm running out of phone money real quick. So
Well, I'm very sorry to have cost you money, but
it's my pleasure to do it. So.
Anyway, thanks for coming on the show, and I'm sure you'll catch Steve again in 2018. But in the meantime, I'll wish you a happy Christmas and happy New Year, and thanks for coming on.
All right, same to you and yours.
All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. We'll be back next week, hopefully with Rafe. I will collar him before the Christmas season, and then he can wish you happy Christmas himself. Bye for now.